Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Positivity and Prosperity Podcast. I have gone podcast crazy recently because there have been so many people that I have wanted to interview, bring on the podcast and share amazing information with all of you guys listening. Now, in today's episode, I'm interviewing the sales and communication expert that is Sarah Gray. Now, Sarah and I have worked together. We've known each other for, is it going to be 2 years? A fairly significant period of time. And in today's episode, she is going to be sharing with you some amazing sales misconceptions. So if you have a business, if you have a side hustle, if you are wanting to grow and expand, maybe you're even just considering starting a business, Sarah is going to give you some amazing tips in this episode. So I hope you really enjoy it, and I will see you in the episode. So I would love to welcome the wonderful Sarah Gray onto the podcast, and today's episode is all going to be us talking about sales misconceptions. So Sarah, do you want to start by introducing yourself, telling everyone listening a little bit about you and who you help?
Yeah, of course. Firstly, thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here today. My name's Sarah Gray and I am a sales expert. So I coach and help women who have their own businesses to increase their sales and income, and using a different approach to sales. So none of this old gimmicky stuff, actually incorporating psychology and consumer behavior into it.
I love that. And I think that is exactly it. The psychology element, because you're a psychologist. Yes. And moving away. That's why we're talking about misconceptions today. I think it's about moving away from what people perceive as being salesy. And actually, I know that the work you do is about rejuvenating sales and saying, no, let's get rid of all that nonsense and let's look at this in a completely different light to get the results.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's, for me, the biggest reason why women can't sell and why they have these great businesses but they can't actually make money from them is because they don't actually know what sales is, and they're just bombarded with all of these silly messages about sales and then wonder why they can't actually make money.
Yeah, there's so many misconceptions. And I know Sarah and I have worked together a lot in the past. She is literally my sales savior. I'm bowing down. I know people on the podcast can't see this, but I'm bowing. And I know that there are so many issues out there with what sales is. And I'll dive into a couple of them that I felt. But let's start with, I see this a lot. And I know this, you've talked about this on your Instagram page, but what about this idea that people buy people? Do you want to just dive into that and where we might be going wrong when we're thinking people buy people?
Yeah, I'm trying to keep calm because it's the worst used phrase ever. And if I was ever to create a sales cliche handbook, this would be number one. People don't buy people. It's the absolutely most ridiculous sort of thought out there when it comes to sales, because it basically what we then as people believe is that being friendly, having good conversations, just chatting to someone is enough. Mm-hmm. And sorry to burst a bubble, but sales takes a bit more work than that.
Yeah.
And you do actually have to learn the skill and learn the art of sales. It's not going to be enough just to be friendly and just to have good chats with people. And personally, I find it quite insulting because my career hasn't been based on just being nice to people, because, you know, I've worked hard at it. And unfortunately, what happens is then people, they do this, they think, okay, people buy people, so just let me have these great conversations. And then they feel bad about themselves, that they're not a likable person, that they're not someone that people can relate to, because people say no, and it puts you in that terrible feeling that you're just not enough of a good person for people to buy from. And aside from the mindset issues that it has, it just makes no sense. Because it doesn't. I mean, do we really as people buy something, especially of high value, just because we like the person selling it? No. The people buy solutions to their problems.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, I don't know if I've got this from you, so I'm probably stealing something you've taught me. But like, people buy an iPhone, but they don't buy an iPhone because of the person behind iPhone.
No.
Apple, not iPhone. Or like Coca-Cola. There isn't a person. You're buying the brand, I really want a refreshing cold drink. I'm going to get a Coke because that is what I want. It's there's no person involved in that. So how would that explain those sales? It wouldn't.
It doesn't. People buy solutions to their problems. And this is, I mean, naturally there's a lot more to it, but essentially you have to be solving someone's problem and you have to be empowering your prospective clients to understand their problem before you can sell to them. Now, where I think this misconception comes from is that it does make logical sense that if you have a good conversation with someone and you do get on really well with them, it's going to increase your chances of sales. Mm-hmm. That is true, but only if you are solving a problem that they have. Yeah. So the best way that I explain to my clients is, we have all, if we really thought about it, bought something from someone that we didn't particularly like, mm-hmm. or annoyed us, or a cashier or a cashier assistant who irritated us, or we've bought a product, we're like, we're not a fan of these people, but what they teach and what they speak makes sense, so I'm going to purchase anyway. We have all done that.
Yeah.
You'll be hard pushed to find a product that you or a service that you have bought genuinely for the sole reason that you liked the person selling it.
It would be like a guilty thing, like, oh, I feel like I need to buy it from someone. I'll just buy something small. I don't really want it. That's not going to be a long-term sale, is it?
No. And even some of the pushback that I get around this is, okay, but what about donating to charity?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and things like that, because you're like, all of these things, like, that's not solving a problem that you've got. Well, it is really, because you feel guilty and you actually do walk away with a solution. You feel better.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. It's, you're contributing, you're being altruistic, you're feeling good because actually, well, I've sacrificed a little bit of my income or something and I feel like I'm helping someone else. Yeah.
Yeah.
So would you say then what people are doing is they're taking this message of people by people and they're disconnecting from their solution and they're solely focusing on personality and characteristics, but actually the two come together and the solution has to come first, and then being positive, communicating, having a lovely personality that people bond with is secondary to that?
Yes, 100%. You cannot, the phrase, the way I would use it is, people buy solutions to their problems from people that they have a good relationship with.
Mm-hmm. Solution has to come first. So
it just doesn't make sense. You don't buy things just because you like the person. Doesn't happen.
No, it's a nice byproduct if the solution was there. So what would you, if you could give one tip based on this that people could kind of action focusing on this solution, what could people do? Because I bet there are people listening going, oh, wow, I've been doing this wrong. I need some help.
I would, the first actionable step is, when you're speaking to anybody, whether it be in whatever mode of communication or medium of communication you're using, find out their problem and spend the most time on understanding what their issue is, what their need is, because that is the only reason they're going to say yes to you.
Oh my goodness. And you know what, as you were saying that, I was thinking, I bet I've done this and I bet I've done that the wrong way round. I nearly said that wrong. Almost like, we as coaches, as business owners, as women, it's not about us. It's nothing to do with us. It's to do with the person that we want to serve and help and support. And that's why we created a business, because actually we want to help the other person. So maybe the mindset is, we need to disconnect ourselves and say, who are they? What do they need? What solution do I give? Oh, love that.
100%. And on that mindset piece, if you have a sales interaction and it doesn't go to plan, please remember that it's nothing to do with you as a person. It's not because they don't like you. It's not because they haven't connected with you. Mm-hmm. It's not that. What it is one of the main reasons is going to be because there wasn't a strong enough need. Yeah. And you, even if it's there, we as salespeople, it's our job to uncover those needs. They're not always on the surface. They're not, especially in some of the businesses that we're in, it's going to take a bit of digging. So please don't go away thinking you're not a nice person, because it's not true, because people don't buy people. I can't say it enough.
So if anyone's just joined into this bit of the podcast, people don't buy people. That is the conclusion we've come to. And I think as human beings, we have a natural tendency to want to be liked, because from our mind's perspective, being liked means we're safe. It keeps us as part of the group. But when it comes to sales, from what you're saying, it's like, it's not about us. It's about focusing on those solutions. And if someone says no, that doesn't mean, no, I'm not going to work with you. I'm not going to buy your product because you're a horrible person. It's no, I don't need what you're selling. And that's it.
Exactly. And it's not about who you are as a person. Yeah, I'm going to be honest. It might be that there isn't an ultimate connection between you guys, whoever you're speaking to, even if you have found the need. But that doesn't mean anything bad about you as a person. Mm-hmm. It's not about you, and right, it's not about your services. It's about them. And our job as a salesperson, which ultimately everyone that runs a business is going to need to be a salesperson, mm-hmm, our job is to empower people, to empower them to make decisions that are right for them. And sometimes that means saying no as well.
Yeah. And actually, ultimately, the thing is this the right decision for that person? Will this product really help them? I was actually working with a client last night, coaching her, and we were talking about her services. And I know that the products and the services that she gives are amazing, but her clients need to know that. They need to know all of the incredible things these things are going to do for her, for them, sorry. Okay, so if that's people by people, this next one, right, if anyone listening to this watches The Apprentice in the UK, Sarah, I think you said you haven't watched it this year. No. But if anyone has, I think The Apprentice is one of these, like, it probably would make you cringe, Sarah, but they obviously have to do a lot of sales tasks. It highlights that we all have different traits when it comes to sales. But there is one particular person on this year called Thomas who definitely has, and this is the misconception, the gift of the gab. Now, listening to this, the gift of the gab, you know, he's just, he talks the talk. He could, what's the phrase? He could sell ice to the Eskimos. That's a big sales misconception, isn't it? So Sarah, can you tell us a little bit about this, why it's a misconception and how we need to change our views, our mindset around it?
Oh gosh, yeah. This is why I don't watch The Apprentice. Sorry. I just can't. Gift of the gab. So first of all, the problem with that is, again, introverts out there, people that can't just have those crazy conversations and do that sort of wheeler dealer, they're made to think that they're never going to be able to sell. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's not true. And the gift of the gab, we do know that our possible customers aren't stupid, right? they've been sold to for a number of years. Mm-hmm. Everything is sales. Talking someone into submission and doing that gift of the gab, it's not sales. Mm. It's really not. And the truth is you probably will get some sales from it. But I very much doubt that it's going to be repeat business. There'll be a high cancellation rate. There'll be a high refund policy. It doesn't foster good long-term relationships, and it doesn't help. It doesn't benefit your brand just talking people into submission.
Yeah.
And actually, there's a great sales quote out there, which says, you have two ears and one mouth. So listen twice as much as you talk.
I love that.
When you're in a sales interaction or when you're on a sales call, you absolutely should not be doing most of talking. Mm-hmm. So how will gift of the gap help?
Not really.
It just reinforces these horrible stereotypes that salespeople are pushy and that they're manipulative and they're all of these crazy, sleazy, horrible things. And it's like, okay, so why would anyone like sales if they think, or be good at it, if they think it means they need to be inherently bad?
Yeah. And also when I started my business, and when anyone starts their business, surely their mindset is, I have this thing that I want to help my clients with. I want to get them from A to Z. I want them to feel more confident. I want them to grow their businesses. I want them to make more money. Or if it's skincare, I want them to look in the mirror and go, oh my God, I'm so happy in my own skin. Surely we don't want people that don't need to transform their skin or don't have a business taking our products, services, working with us, because we're just selling them something that they don't want and need. And as you said, that's when you get refunds, you get people who are really unhappy because, mm-hmm. I think I've been in a situation a couple of times when I felt like, okay, I'll give you a good example. If you're working in or walking through like a shopping center, shopping mall, and they have those people selling skincare products and mm-hmm. they'll be like, excuse me, just one second. And this person was trying to sell me, I think it was a nail varnish. But what happened was he said, excuse me. And I stopped and I went over and I was listening to him, and he was probably a bit gift of the gabby. But before I knew it, he'd taken my hand and he'd taken my nail varnish off one finger. And I was like, oh, and it happened. And okay, this probably isn't a massive deal, but I was furious because I had just painted my nails the night before. And I was like, what? And of course I wasn't going to buy anything from him because he was trying to draw me in. I was really annoyed. And actually I wanted to complain, because imagine if I'd literally just had a manicure and paid for it, and without asking, he had like taken the nail varnish off. Silly example. But to me, he drew me in with the gift of the gab, but there was going to be no sale. I was left feeling quite disgruntled, actually, because I was quite annoyed. I remember phoning my mum and being like, Mum, he took my nail varnish off.
Like, oh, yeah, that is the exact sort of person that is the sort of cowboy of the industry that makes, whenever I tell people I work in sales, you can almost feel that, oh, okay, right, let's be careful of you. Okay. It's all right, don't panic. I'm only going to sell to people that I actually want to work with for a start. And this is, I suppose, a disclaimer that I should have said, all of this applies only to people that are right for your services and products. Mm-hmm. Ethical selling, mm-hmm. Because anything other, if you're using gift to the gab just to sell to anyone, that's not sales. That's conning people, and it's very distinct difference. Sales is, when I talk about sales, I'm only talking about selling to people where there's a genuine need there, and when they're actually someone that you can help. The best way I can think is, when I do speak to people, there's a good portion of people that I send away, mm-hmm. because I know that I'm not the right person to work with them. And if I'm not, then I'll pass them on. That's sales, because sales is about empowering people to make the right decision and to get their problem fixed.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that I noticed when I started working with you that really made you stand out. There were no tricks, no gimmicks, no like, oh, well, this is how you get around this. It was all focused on this person that you're talking to, Victoria, are they right for your program? Yes or no? And if the answer was no, that was like, well, that's where this ends then. And that to me was so refreshing. And I'm not saying there aren't anyone else doing that out there, but for me, it was that misconception of, I felt a bit awkward around sales because of all of these stereotypical ideas that I've got. And then you came along and you just taught me so much about what sales really is. And I mm-hmm. think a lot of that comes from your background in psychology and the fact that you are a psychologist. You understand human behavior rather than being Del Boy.
100%. And that's why my my methodology when it comes to sales and the approaches I use is all based on psychology, and it's all based on communication. Yeah. So there are communication techniques out there that you can use, but they're not to trick people, they're to help people make decisions. Because quite often, especially in the sort of clients I work with any product, especially if it's high ticket, there's a fear around purchasing. Mm-hmm. And there are certain techniques that you can use that help people push past that fear and help them make the decision that's right for them. Yeah. That's what sales is about, communicating in a way that your clients can make the right decisions.
Yeah.
But anything other than that, if they're not your right decision, it's not selling.
Yeah. And I think you touched on their fear. That's so important, because I know from when I've been purchasing like high ticket coaching, or when I've been on the other side of it, we want to stay in our comfort zone. And often to make a big change, whether that is to make more money or to start a business or to actually grow your business, you've got to see that fear and you've got to push past it. Because if not, you stay stuck and you stay in your comfort zone and nothing changes. And that's when you start thinking like, I'm really unhappy with the position I'm in. So being able to help someone work through their own fear in sales is so, so crucial. And it might be that they work through and go, actually, I know I need to change, but this isn't the right program. That's fine. But if we don't work through that fear, we don't make changes. We just get stuck. And no one wants to feel stuck, because then that infiltrates into your relationships and your health and your well-being, because you just feel unfulfilled, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So, third misconception. Now, this one is a bit of a personal one. Sarah, I know you know me quite well. But one of the big things I had was I had this mindset, and I think I've talked about this before when I've talked about like money mindset, but I had this mindset that business people, I resisted saying businessmen, but I suppose when I was growing up, I saw men in suits and I thought businessmen who are good at sales, who are successful and make money, aren't very nice. This was just this perception that you couldn't be warm, cuddly, friendly. You had to be hard-nosed, cutthroat to be in sales. A bit like Wolf of Wall Street. That was my kind of misconception. So let's dispel this myth. Let's dispel this myth that you can't be nice to be good at sales.
I know where this misconception's coming from. Again, it makes no sense, because being harsh, that's not selling. And people don't actually respond well to it at all. You can be the nicest person in the world. As long as you're doing something, you're finding the solution to someone's problem, you can sell.
Yeah. All kinds of solutions.
Always. And it doesn't matter whether your approach is that you are a slightly harsher person, or you're more direct, or you're extroverted, or if you're an introvert. And it's so dangerous to say that you have to be harsh, or business people aren't nice, because then you're just sat with this subconscious belief that you're never going to make sales because you have to be a certain way.
Yeah.
And you don't. All you need to learn is how to communicate, and it's not about you. There is, you know, without going into too much crazy detail, but everybody, whether they're purchasing a house, a car, a drink, a piece of jewelry, they go through the same thing, which is called the buying cycle. Mm-hmm. Your job as a salesperson is to take them through that buying cycle so that they are able, if it's right for them, to purchase at the end.
Yeah.
At no point is that buying cycle ever about the person selling or taking them through it. It's always about the consumer. So if you're a jokey person and you want to have a laugh with your clients, as long as you're using the techniques that allow them to go through that cycle, fine. Mm-hmm. If you're introvert, fine. If you're extroverted, fine. It doesn't matter, because it's not about you.
Yeah.
Anybody can sell.
Anybody can sell. And actually, if you think about it from the mindset perspective, we acting is hard. So if you're an introvert, pretending to be an extrovert is so draining, and vice versa. If you're an extrovert, pretending to be introverted or changing your behaviors, your ways, it feels wrong. It's like if you eat your food with your knife in your right hand and the left, if you try and switch those over, it feels weird. It feels wrong. It gives you that like, oh, this isn't natural. And actually, I think from what you're saying there is, use your natural characteristics, just follow the right techniques. And these are the techniques that you teach. Are these the ones that you teach in your group program and to your one-to-one clients?
Yes. Yeah. So I work through a specific methodology that is based around these techniques and based around the consumer and what they need to, what process and what experience they have to go through to be able to say yes. It's never about us. And just on a note on these harsh, gift of the gabby, horrible people, it doesn't last. So we do see people that do really well from these techniques. And interestingly, bought up Wolf of Wall Street, Jordan Belfort. Does anyone know what happened to him?
Well, the film doesn't end that well.
Exactly. He ended up, you know, he owed millions and millions and millions. He had to do a jail term, I think, but it was reduced because he had to, you know, give up loads of people. Like, it was massive. So it's like, yeah, okay, fine. He used techniques that we think are normal sales techniques, but they don't last.
Yeah. It's all about the long term, being in integrity and actually using the communication tools rather than being like, I need to sell, whatever selling means.
To be able to sell, you don't need to understand sales, you need to understand people.
Say that again.
To be able to sell, you don't have to understand sales, you have to understand people.
I love that. Right. I'm going to be writing that down. That's going to be my little mantra. If you could give anyone listening to this, because I know there are various different people who listen who have like side businesses, who are just starting their businesses, or maybe people who are wanting to grow from where they are right now, could you give one or two key bits of advice for those people that they can implement and actually start to see growth in their sales?
Yeah. So the first piece of advice I'd give, and the tip I give, is work on you first in terms of changing your mindset, because I guarantee that a lot of what's blocking you is because of your perception of sales, and it's not about you. So start really trying to understand how you view it as an industry and what you think a salesperson needs to be, and then replace that with a salesperson is anyone. Anyone can sell, anybody, and really start to understand where these beliefs have come from and replace them, because they're not true at all. And the second tip that I would give is, again, and the reason why I mention it again is because it is the only reason people buy is because they have a problem that needs to be solved. Mm-hmm. When you are speaking with anybody, the biggest part of your call or your whatever communication should be tapping into what their problem is. If you're spending 10 minutes understanding what their problem is and 25 minutes talking about how you can fix it and your product, you're not going to make the sale. Switch it up. Mm-hmm. Start really get into grips so that they can really tap into what their issue is, how they feel about it, and then you can provide a solution. Otherwise, you're just providing a generalized solution that isn't specific to them. So needs, find the problem.
People who can't see this, she's Sarah's getting really like, this needs to happen. She's got her fists on the table.
Yes, I feel like I've been restrained because I can get quite passionate about this, so I'm quite proud of myself.
Quite passionate. But this, I think, like just what you were saying there as well, like I see that in a therapy setting, people want to feel listened to. I know, like when I'm on the other side of it and when I'm having a coaching session with someone, I love that feeling of this is my time. They're going to ask me questions. I'm going to talk about how I'm feeling, what's going on. I'm actually being listened to. And what you said earlier, we have two ears and one mouth. Do more listening than talking. Yeah, I think I've taken so much from this. And I know, Sarah, you're probably like, Victoria, I've told you all this before. because I know we work together. But I think this has been so, so helpful. And I know that people are going to take actionable steps from this. But if people are listening to this and they want to know more about what working with you would be like, or finding more information about you, where can people go?
So I'm always on Instagram. That's where I am. I'm always there, which is just Sarah Gray _. And at the moment, we've only got 2 days left of doors being open, but I am running a 6-week course, which starts Monday, called Communication to Cash. Essentially, really basically blowing apart all these myths and showing you the actual ethical, authentic communication techniques that you can implement straight away, which I think we're going to provide a link to. But if anyone does want any further information or to talk further, then I'm on Instagram.
Awesome. Right. Yeah. I will put all of those links in. So when this goes live, there's about 2 days left. Is that right? To join the 6 weeks, 6 week program.
Yes. So we go live on Monday. So only today and tomorrow to sign up.
Okay. So if you're listening and you're thinking, oh my gosh, this is actually what I need, click the link in the show notes right now. There's only about 48 hours. Seriously, take some action, because I know this program is going to be incredible. If people are listening after Monday, are there other opportunities to work with you if they've missed this 6-week program?
Yeah, absolutely. There's loads of different ways you can work with me. So in that case, if you're listening after Monday, I just come over to Instagram, drop me a message. My email's on there as well. And I can let you know how we can work together. One thing I would say as well, for anyone listening live, like recent now sort of time, the 6-week course will take you up till mid-December. And just so everyone knows, with the exception of retail, January is the best sales month across any industry. So if you can get prepped before then, you will absolutely do well in January after Christmas. And that's the specific reason why I'm doing it before next year, because so that people can be ready for when the best sales month happens.
Amazing. So if people are thinking, well, actually, I'm thinking of starting my business in the new year, actually, this would be the perfect training so that they hit the ground running.
January 2nd through to January 31st is the best sales month in any industry, with the exception of retail.
I've learned so much. I did not know that. Right. Thank you so much, Sarah. So many valuable bits of information and so many mindset pieces that you've just dispelled there. So I'm going to put all of those links in the show notes. Thank you for joining us on the podcast. I'm sure you will be back soon to tell us more snippets of sales information. And I will speak to you very soon.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. If you like this content, I would so love it if you could leave me an iTunes review. You would totally make my day, and you'd help this podcast to reach other listeners just like you. And if you know someone who this content would help, then please share it with them. Share the love, share the positivity. I hope you all have a wonderful and prosperous day, and I will see you all in the next episode.